scrap Christian school assemblies in Northern Ireland. A UK-wide report says the requirement for schools to hold religious acts of worship should end. What does that mean? Well, it would effectively spell the end of all pupil Christian assemblies in schools throughout Northern Ireland. The law here says that every primary and post-primary school has to have an act of collective worship for pupils during the day. Effectively, that means most schools hold an assembly every day, which usually includes a Christian hymn, prayer, or a Bible reading. But would it be a bad thing if it was scrapped altogether? A recent survey on the Northern Life television show carried out showed that only 36% of Catholics said they attended church once a week or more, compared to 25% of Protestant responders. The commentator Malachy O'Doherty with us today, Peter Lyons from the Evangelical Alliance. Morning to you, Peter.
Morning, Peter. Morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Malachy, let's start with you. Scrap school assemblies, scrap Christian school assemblies in Northern Ireland.
Well, personally, I would see that as highly desirable. Whether I would see it as attainable is another matter. But yes, I do believe that education should be secular. Education should be separate from religious cultivation. If people want their children raised within a religious tradition, then that is their responsibility in the home. I think that education and religion are in some measure incompatible, in that the point of education is to teach people to think and induct them into the humanities and the sciences and so on, but to think logically about things. And there is no logical, firm argument that establishes the existence of God, let alone the Christian interpretation of God. And therefore, if you're going to be teaching religion to children, it has to be on that understanding that it's not a finished thing. It's not rounded off. We haven't come to any conclusions about it, and that it's for them to think about themselves.
Yeah, Peter, should a kid, I don't know, kid gets the age 16, should they not have the right, they're old enough to have sex at 16, aren't they? Should they not have the right to say, do you know what, I don't believe in God. I am not sitting in that prayer group in assembly.
Well, they do have that right. They can be withdrawn from it. So I think Malachy's comments...
No, they don't have the right themselves. The parents have the right to withdraw them. They don't have the right themselves.
Yes, but their parent can withdraw them. But just for a second, we've got to put this report in this larger context. The report says we need to acknowledge and embrace authentic plurality here. There are a range of views in the public square that religion does play an important part. So it has comments on assembly, but it's a much larger report that says actually we need to understand religion better. Otherwise, we're going to see more of the problems that we see in our society. And more broadly across the world, religion is critical in the public square, it says, but we need to understand it well. The idea that you just ignore it or try and dispense with it is a flawed argument. That's what the report's saying.
Then I agree with you there, Peter. I wouldn't say that there shouldn't be discussion of religion in schools, but I would put much more emphasis on comparative religion than in actually handing down a religious tradition and affirming it as a particularly true account of things. I mean, one of the problems of the modern time we're in is the very shallow understanding of Islam. I mean, we're faced with a continual argument about whether Islam is the religion of peace or whether it is pro-jihad and war. And we're standing agog looking in at this argument because none of us have read the Quran properly or properly acquainted ourselves with the Islamic tradition. So, yes, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there should be a substantial discussion in religion and substantial education in religion. But religion, as somebody wiser than me once said, is like language. If you only know one language, you don't know any language. And if you only know one religion, you don't really understand religion either.
Assembly sessions start with prayers, for example, at Stormont. So is Christianity given a preference, a priority these days that it doesn't merit, Malachy?
Well, I think so. The reality is that, the figures in the poll show it, and one's own acquaintance with friends and neighbours establishes it. People get their children christened and they get themselves married in churches and they get buried through religious services and then never go to church in between. So we have an inflated idea of how many people really are Christian in this society. Very, very large numbers of people are going through the norms because that's what you do, and yet they don't believe in it at all.
Peter?
I think we need to comment on that because it depends on which figures you choose to use. The census is one figure. People choose to tick boxes that allocate to Northern Ireland 82% to be Christian. It's about 60-odd percent across the UK as a whole. Now, people say, oh, they don't really mean that, but those are the boxes people choose to pick. Now, when you look at, Stephen, your figures, I think it's 36% amongst the Catholic community and 25% amongst the Protestant community of the church once a week or more often. When you take those figures up to monthly, so people going maybe two times a month, it goes up to closer to 40%. And people who attend more often than that, once or twice a year, it still goes up to 50 and 60% again. So you're talking very significant numbers of people.
So do you think we're still a Christian society?
Well, most people are affirming that in the census, 82%. So that's one of the things we have to take into
account. As a community, Peter, you wouldn't be happy with that level of commitment, you know? I mean, certainly, I mean, I know the Catholic world better than the evangelical world, but... I mean, the measures, you know, there are measures of involvement in that people will say, oh, I go to Mass every so often and so on. But you test them on the things that really measure commitment, like going to confession or having a willingness to enter into a religious order or to train for the priesthood. And those figures fall down to practically zero, you know, and that has happened in a very short period of time. So the indicators of depth of commitment... are the ones which have collapsed.
That becomes very subjective.
I would wager it would be the same in the evangelical culture.
Those become very subjective. You've got 82% choosing to go there. Now you've got 40-odd percent attending on a monthly basis and 30% attending weekly. Because even if you put those two figures together, Stephen, you said it, that's 30% of the population are going once a week or more often to church. That's the biggest single grouping in society of any type. Who else gets those kind of attendance numbers? Let's remember that 200,000 people go to the Irish League football matches in the entire season. 400,000 people go to church every single weekend. That's an incredible number of people. So this is right at the heart and the core of our society.
Why should it be compulsory, a prayer session be compulsory in schools?
So because the legislation is there that we have to have a spiritual component. That's the majority spiritual component in our
society. But why should
it
be there?
I've always advocated, even as you know, I've always advocated that we need to have a plurality of ideas in the public square. So I'm very up for the most of our RE is comparative religion. That's the kind of studies that we do.
So would you support Muslim prayers being compulsory once a week in schools too?
No, we don't have a significant Muslim population, but it should be studied in religious education. What the idea that you can put nothing in its place is the false one, because secularism is its own perspective. France has tried that. It banned prayer rooms, it banned wearing the hijab.
But here's my point, Peter. Studying something is different from practicing something. So you're saying, look, people should study religious education. I doubt there would be very many people would disagree with that. But actually forcing a child to practice something, to practice religion, a forced worship every morning in school. Is that consistent with 2015?
The only person who can force a child to do that is their parent. And most people would agree that the parents do have a responsibility.
Doesn't a headmaster or a teacher who's taken that school assembly stand up at the beginning and say, let us pray?
They do indeed, and a person can be withdrawn from that by their parent. There's absolutely no problem. That's very clear and consistent, and very few people do withdraw their kids.
But the question is, should schools still be doing it?
But why would they
not? I don't think they should. I mean, Peter comes up with these figures for the huge numbers of people who go to church. Well, if those figures are solid and those people are going to church out of a real interest and real enthusiasm, then there's no need for legal structures within schools or within assemblies or whatever to herd people towards into religious culture and towards religious practice. They'll do it themselves of their own volition.
So then parents should withdraw their children. Why do 99, well, I don't know the numbers, but I'm guessing it's in the high 90% of people still attend. I'm not aware of any significant...
Do you know what I think it is, Peter? Right, I think it's because it doesn't really matter that much to them. You know, I think it's because it doesn't really matter. And it doesn't matter that much to them because they're not actually very religious people.
Here's Jan this morning in Ballycan. Morning, Jan.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I don't like people talking about religion at all because, you know, it's a very private, personal thing. But I think all children that go to Catholic schools or Protestant schools should be taught their own religion. It matters. I mean,
we're not asking about being taught religion. We're talking about a school assembly prayers and worship is compulsory.
Yes, I know. Well, I mean, I never thought it was compulsory, but everybody did it anyway. And there's a lot of people do religious instruction as their exams, you know, and like it's not good. And I don't like to hear people discussing religion at all out of bounds. And I would call that out of bounds because whenever you go to school, I think you should be told, because that's what's wrong with the world today. Young people are just, that hear a parent say that or hear you say it on the radio either, think that it's all wrong for to talk about religion then.
030 30 80 55 55, Wesley. Morning, Wesley.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'd like to make a quick point here. When you take God out of schools and out of education, you end up with a godless society.
That's
now, I've just sit and listened to two men prattling on there this morning, and they're talking about how you sort of decide on a Christian society or not. Christian society isn't built on how many people go to church. That's like deciding how many people drive a certain car because they're driving the charge first. You know, Christians are people who follow the ideals of Christ, who do good to people, who love people, who go out of their way to do good for their enemies. That's what Christ prayed for. He didn't pray, I'm going to pack the churches. Like, if God wants to fill the churches, he comes to the earth, which he will do very, very soon. You know, it's great having religious education in schools, but ideally, it's got to be taught in the home. How do we teach our kids to be good children? The word good comes from the word God. That's where good comes from.
We're talking about the practice of religion in schools, aren't we? There must be some headmasters saying, let us pray, who don't believe a word of it.
That's totally correct, Stephen. But do you want to know something? You can teach something. I teach children how to play football. I'm not the greatest footballer in the world, but I know the simple building blocks of...
But you're mixing... Look, I don't want us to get mixed up in things today. We're not asking if religion should be taught in schools. We're asking if prayer should be part, a compulsory part, worship should be a compulsory part of a school assembly.
If you take God out of schools, you'll end up with godless schools. If you take it out of society, you'll end up with a godless society. Is that what you want? Because you're asking the question this morning, nobody else.
Go on, Peter.
You're hosting the show.
Well, Stephen, I appreciate you're saying you're asking the question about prayer and assemblies, but this is based on the Wolf report that's come out. People are saying that in the press. So just to be clear, the report is putting that in a much broader context. It is very important to say religion.
And one of the report's proposals is that the requirement for schools to hold religious acts of worship should end.
Absolutely. So you picked up on one, but there's a whole series in that report, which is why people are bringing in the broader issue, because you can't just pick one thread and pull that one apart and ignore the other parts of the report that say we need a new Magna Carta from the ground up. Magna Carta was based on biblical principles in terms of human rights and freedom. The entire human rights legislation we have comes from a very strong Christian understanding, Judeo-Christian history. And so we need to put these things in context and say there has to be a broader understanding of religion. This is one of the parts where Malik and I have agreed clearly this morning. We need to understand religion better because we're seeing some of the implications. When you go for a secular society like France, when we fail to understand Islam, when we fail to engage well in religion, we've got a problem.
Malachi?
Well, I'm for a secular society, but I'm not necessarily as far going with as far as France does. But I think, essentially the state is secular. The state in the sense that it pays due respect to all religious traditions. Nominally, it's Church of England. It's Anglican. It's got the Queen at the head of the church. Nominally, it goes through forms and rituals that nobody takes very seriously. And that is a problem for the churches as much as for anybody else. Because if I was in the position of a bishop or of an organization like Peter's, I would be looking at the level of religious practice and thinking, we have made a mess of this. We've turned it into a public show. We turned it into a formal ritual that people have no commitment to at all. We've got this inflated sense of the scale of the churches because so many people go for essentials like marriages and funerals and so on. Whereas in fact, you know, like one of our callers, I mean, I didn't agree with him on everything he said, but he's absolutely right when he says that you know, Christianity is about a level of commitment to something. And therefore, you know, it would be better for the churches to reduce to their actual size, claw back,
just to be clear,
retrench with the people who are with you, and stop with the charade that this wider society has got a commitment to this, that it's only really got some kind of token involvement.
Colin
in.
Houston. Morning, Colin.
Mulligan's making a good argument there for trying to get the church out of society. I'm tired of him. He's always running the church down. But let me tell you something now. If you turn around and you use your logic, your argument, you're turning around and you're saying, no, you shouldn't have prayer in schools, okay?
Well, I don't have an argument. I'm asking a question.
All right, well, you're saying you shouldn't pray in schools.
I'm not saying that. Pray. I'm asking the question.
All right, well, you're asking a question. Well, finish the rest of your scenario. Should parents then make their kids get up out of bed and they don't want to get up? Should Malachy turn around and be able to turn around and pay his taxes? Come on, what about a common sense? This is a Christian nation.
Sorry, let's unpack that argument.
Okay,
And see how it's for you turning around saying you want a godless society. The mom
didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't.
Well, that's what your argument is. Your argument is, here's your argument. Everything else, you have to do a free choice. Do it if you want to do it. Do it if you want to do it. But the point is if you told people, will you pay your taxes? I will do it if I want to do it. Would you get most taxes in?
We're asking.
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I am for taxation. I pay taxes and I believe in the state's right to collect taxes.
Yeah, so when you were brought up as a general...
Hold on, Colin. Colin, I think you've got to listen to Maliki as well.
Go ahead.
I think I am not saying that people should just be free to make up their minds whether they believe obey laws or not. All I'm saying is that the state really is effectively a secular state. The state should be agnostic on... Sorry?
Well, so whose word are we taking for? Are we taking your word
for? Well, okay, I'm offering an opinion.
Your opinion's not right, Mulligan.
And your opinion is right, Colin, is it?
No, my opinion's not right either, but the thing is this here. Is why don't you let the people turn around and speak up for who's right? Because you've warmed them up enough over the last months trying to turn around and bring in an ungodly society. And I was just trying to tell you before on your programme.
So majority should rule, Colin. So if you have, I don't know, if you had a school that was 60% Christian, you think the other 40% should have to sit in an assembly and sit through a prayer session that they don't believe in, that they don't want to take part in?
Well, the point being is this here, is who, if there's one in the school, okay, and you had 40% of people who didn't believe in prayer, right? You wouldn't make them go in if they didn't want to go in. The assembly, when I went to school, went into the assembly, all the children went in, and yes, there was a prayer said, the Lord's Prayer was said. But because we're waiting, we can't go and give other people who don't believe in prayer to go into another room. But the point is this here, is you turn around and you want to take prayer out of society, you want to take prayer out of politics, you want to take prayer out of this whole nation, and then here's your argument. Your argument is because you want people to do what they want. And then when you have our day, like France, when you have our day where people don't have any order, then you're blaming everybody else for turning around and running about doing what they want.
Well, do you think there's anarchy in America? It's against the law to pray in school in America.
And it's changing. It's changing. As soon as the abortion issue in America is changing. But they're not putting that stuff on the radio, you see.
Alex Kane tweets this morning, if you believe in God, so be it. Just don't expect others to believe too.
Well, unfortunately for that argument, here's the argument that the Bible turns around and says you have to go out and preach the gospel. Because people won't believe unless they hear. Unless we start doing that again, and I'm saying to the churches, you need to wake up, get back out on the street again and start preaching.
Go on, Maliki.
Well, Colin is a religious man who believes in Christianity and believes in prayer and believes in an obligation to pray. I don't believe in those things. But, I mean, I am not an anarchist. I'm not saying that all laws are irrelevant. I mean, this idea that if you...
What are you saying, Maliki?
Well, listen to him and he'll tell you.
Sorry. Go ahead. Tell me. What are you saying?
I'm saying...
Hold on, Colin. Give him a chance to tell you what he's saying.
All right. That's from my position. I am an agnostic. I'm a secular agnostic. I don't know if there's a God or if there's not a God. Right. That's the reality that I live with as I understand it. That's my opinion. I do not want, for instance, if I go into hospital to have a chaplain coming and praying at my bed. I do not want. I don't go to school anymore. But if I went through a religious education where we didn't pray every morning, we prayed every 40 minutes. You know, and I think that was a waste of time within an education.
Does it not diminish the Lord's Prayer, Colin, if you have some teenager mumbling their way through it rather than believing in it in a school assembly?
Well, here's what I would do if you're, and I assume that this is what teachers do in school. When you're saying the Lord's Prayer, you're saying the words, Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come to earth as it is in heaven. So you're actually reciting a prayer to ask God to bring his wisdom into the school, into the school children, into the school assembly, into the school organization.
And some kids will be mumbling that, not believing that God exists.
That's totally up to them. Sure, Maliki can mumble it, can't they?
Well, it's up to them, is it, to be forced to sit through a prayer session that they don't believe in?
Well, they're not being forced. They're in a script which has order, which has things to do. Listen, if I went in to turn around to go to a training scheme, okay, and they were telling me to go up and down ladders. Okay, and one of the jobs I was curtailed to do. But yet I knew I was going to just be selling the goods. Would I still go into the training scheme to turn around and know about up and down ladders? Yes, because they have to do it because of public...
I'm kind of lost with the ladders. Michael in Belfast.
Whether that's sensible or not.
Yeah. I'm not getting into ladders this morning. It's not happening. Maliki, good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry. Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. What I'd like to say is bring education back to where it needs to be, especially given all the argument that's going on. All the young people need to be taught philosophy from year one to year 13 and learning philosophy, which means lover of wisdom. They actually develop all the critique, all the argumental systems. They actually analyze each religion. But never mind that. Analyze the scientific method, which is the religion of many secular humanists, and show where it is actually falling down. And also, and most importantly, are groups of people in semi-secret esoteric organizations, brotherhoods or whatever, who have their own religion, that debunk other religions, and they're pushing through their philosophical quasi-religious system.
Michael, thank you. Jim and Ardoyne. Morning, Jim.
With teaching everyone philosophy, and we're all safe.
Go on, Jim.
We went to assembly now. Our school was a pretty rough school. Some tough guys went to it. But when the assembly was called in the morning, the prayers, it wasn't a word said. It was lovely. I thought it was very nice, and it says for me. And you see that part Maliki says, if he was in the hospital, he wouldn't want a minister coming to him. Well, I'm a Catholic, and I had a massive heart attack, and the priest hadn't come down to see me. I was very, very seriously ill. And one morning, there was a wee minister coming by, and I called him over, and I said, sir, could you come over and speak to me? And he says, no problem, son, what's wrong with me? I said, well, my minister hasn't come down. You know, he hasn't been around. I've seen him a couple of mornings.
And it meant a lot to you, Jim, did it?
Yeah, I said, son, could you say a wee prayer along with me? I said, because I'm very seriously ill. He put his hands in my head. He'd be proud of master, and we said, they are, Father. But going back to St. Gabriel's, I went to, it was lovely. The wee prayers in the morning were lovely.
Jim, thanks very much indeed. Morning to you. We'll leave it there. Maliki, thank you.
Thank you.
Peter Linus, thank you very much.